Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, sis, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I pray that you had an amazing, amazing week. I'm excited about this week's episode where we are going to be talking about mastering your bad days. This is how you are going to live in freedom and in peace, and is a major key alert from today moving on. This isn't even just a 2025 lesson. This is a let's break some cycles lesson. Okay. Now, before we get started, I want to give a couple of church announcements. We are getting ready for our First Fruits Fast in the society. If you have followed me for any length of time, you know every year in January, I host what's called a First Fruits Fast, and we are bringing it to the society. It is 7 days of us really seeking the Lord, dealing with some transformational pillars, rest, creativity, provision, and really seeking God with practical homework assignments, transformational tools to ensure that we're able to go from doing to thriving. The participation in the fast is absolutely free. It starts this Sunday. Kickoff call this Sunday at 7. So make sure that you click the link in the show notes, sign up for the 2-week free trial. You can stay for a long time or you can stay just for the fast. But anytime that we fast with the society, anytime we have any of these events, there's always breakthrough. And the First Fruits Fast is tried and true and proven in all of the things. So come on over to the society. Make sure that you sign up today so you can be getting the emails for the events, for the lessons. I'm super excited about it. Also, make sure that you are using the Ask Dr. Sharla section. Okay. Shout out to one of our listeners who sent me over a question, and I legitimately will send you a voice note back. Okay. It is a way for us to connect and to really do life together in a contained sense. And so the name is going to probably be changing, but use the function. I was so excited to have my first voice note. Give me a couple of days to get back to you, child. Okay. Cause life be lifing. And honestly, I am seeking the Lord when you guys are providing your questions. I'm not quick to just say what comes to my mind. I'm seeking the Lord first, but I want y'all to use it, lock in, be a part of the community. It is absolutely free for you to utilize. I'm not charging. So make sure you click that link. You do have to sign up, do the things. Also, follow me on YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube channel so we can make sure that you're getting the bonus content when it drops. And make sure that you are leaving a rate and review for the show and letting me know how this is impacting you. Let me know how you feel about the new direction that we're going in. I'm so excited because even as I prepared for this week's lesson, God gave me some clarity. This ain't even part of my notes, but sometimes you have to go in a way that feels like you're blind a little bit, a little unprepared, but confident in the fact that you heard his voice. So you're going to keep going. And as you do the things, clarity will come. Amen. Now let's hop into this week. So a few weeks back on my YouTube channel, I did a video about my pillars for this year: posture, prayer, and pace. Okay. Posture, prayer, and pace are my pillars for this year. And one strategy that we need to implement, particularly for pace and posture and really prayer, is to learn how to master your bad days. This is not just a conversation about your mindset either, sis. This is practically mastering your bad days. I mean, literal planning for your bad days. The Bible makes it very clear that trials and tribulations are a part of the journey. The Bible says, "For he, God, gives sunlight to both the evil and good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." Jesus said that in Matthew 5:45. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing. That's James 1:2-4. And then finally, Jesus told us in John 16:33, "I've told you that all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have already overcome the world." So if we plan for trips, if we plan for parties, why do we not plan for bad days? And we know that they are guaranteed. It's not an if, it's a when. And a lot of us are burnt out because we're trying to live this perfectionistic lifestyle in hopes that you don't experience a bad day. Instead of us understanding that bad days are a part of the package. Jesus said, trials and sorrows are coming. So would it not be a better position? Would it not be better stewardship for us to prepare for the bad days so we're not so thrown off? And in order for you to break that cycle of doing but not thriving, you're going to have to be a good steward over all of your days, friend, including the bad ones. Right? You're not going to be able to predict every single circumstance, but you can prepare for things that are likely to happen. You can personalize your preparation plan. Okay? I work in sick clinic. I tell you all the time, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. If you're a mom and your baby go to school, there is a high likelihood, especially if them precious lambs are under the age about 6, okay, there's a high likelihood that at some point over the school year, you're going to get that call from the nurse telling you to come get your baby. Okay, your baby a little under the weather, come and get them. And you need to have a plan in place. So that way, when that phone rings, you're not overwhelmed and dysregulated. You have to have a plan in place. This is what I call contingency planning. And I'm going to give you the definition for when we say contingency planning here at Prescription for Purpose. This is what contingency planning is. A contingency plan is a proactive, personalized strategy that is designed to address emotional, mental, spiritual, and practical challenges during periods of difficulty, uncertainty, or unexpected events. And contingency planning is rooted in self-awareness, it's rooted in self-compassion, and it's rooted in faith. We got to hear from the Lord. And it's going to equip you with the actionable steps, the resources, and the biblical truths that you need to navigate your bad days or your low motivation moments with resilience, with grace, and with intention. Okay? I'm going to give you that one more time. A contingency plan is a proactive, personalized strategy designed to address emotional, mental, spiritual, and practical challenges during difficulty, uncertainty, or unexpected events. And I want you to know that this idea of contingency planning isn't just something that I do or that I feel like we should utilize. Governments, hospitals, businesses, all use contingency planning to prepare for the unexpected. Why? Because without a plan, chaos can take over when something goes wrong. Governments create plans for emergencies like natural disasters, economic crises, to keep people safe, to make sure services are running. Every year at the top of the year, if you live in Florida, they are going to tell you, hey, about spring, you know hurricane season is coming. You need to make sure you're prepared. There's national rollouts because although our prayer is that we don't deal with hurricanes, the likelihood of that circumstance occurring based on history is high. So the way that we are able to not be caught off guard is by having a contingency plan. Hospitals develop strategies for handling patient surges, for med shortages. Okay, if you call the blood bank in the hospital and you give, let them know, like, hey, we need to do XYZ protocol, they will send you the blood. They're already sending you everything that they have in the hospital. And then they are going to reach out to other blood banks to make sure that the hospital doesn't run out of blood. That is a contingency plan. Businesses use contingency plans to stay afloat. So when there's supply chain disruptions, cyber attacks, right? They want to make sure that there's a plan in place. Yes, we hope that these things do not happen. But if we are told, hey, there are going to be trials, there's going to be tribulation, we have to consider the fact that we need to do some contingency planning. We have to learn how to master our bad days. So if these organizations that are responsible for so many people, resources, etc., have a contingency plan, what is the likelihood, sis, that you need to prioritize making a contingency plan for your life? Having this plan is going to help you remain in a place of peace. It's going to help you have a posture and a pace to be focused, proper perspective, and you're going to be prepared whenever life throws you a curveball. The curveball isn't always the devil. Sometimes, girl, your baby is sick. Sometimes, friend, you slept through your alarm. And so we want to make sure that you have the tools that you need. So that way, if you have a day that's overwhelming, if you have an unexpected delay, or even if you're having an emotional struggle, you're not surviving. You're not just trying to survive the day, pick up the pieces, and now there's this cascade effect on the rest of your life. But if you have a contingency plan in place, you're able to thrive through your challenges. You're able to have intention, peace, posture, prayer, and you are able to have the proper perspective. So that way you can not live in a place of reactivity, but you can actually respond to what's going on. And so the way that having a contingency plan helps you break the cycle of doing but not thriving is really by shifting your focus from reactive busyness to intentional living. And when you have a plan, you can create a space to address challenges without being overwhelmed by them. And then you're able to thrive even when situations and circumstances change. This is how you can rejoice in trial and tribulation. This is how you can be content in all things. This is the real tea when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means like I can make it through this bad day because God is my strength and he's already provided me with a plan so I can steward this day appropriately. Your bad days don't have to overwhelm you. They don't have to derail you. In fact, they are going to give you strategy, peace, major key. Why? Because having a contingency plan is going to reduce decision fatigue. So when you plan ahead, you don't have to spend all this mental energy trying to scramble for solutions. You don't have to do this invisible labor while you're actually needing to deal with whatever emotional toll the circumstance is having on you. You can feel your feelings and know that you're going to be able to function. It's going to help you prioritize what matters. It's going to help you focus on these essential tasks, get rid of things that are not essential, and you're going to be able to align your efforts and make sure that the energy that you do have is in alignment with what God called you to do, with your goals, and with your values. Having a contingency plan is going to help you emotionally regulate. In the middle of a crisis is not the time where you need to be making decisions. So we have this invisible labor that we are trying to require of our brain while we're in the middle of trying to feel our feelings. And so now you're overwhelmed. Now you're making impulsive reactions and then later having to go back and course correct because we didn't have a plan in place. Where when we do a contingency plan, we can maintain our peace. We can maintain our health. We can maintain our posture. We make room for us to be able to just experience what's going on and know that we have confidence in the clarity that God has given us beforehand to where we can handle it. Think about when the story of Joseph, where God forewarned about the 7 years of famine. They were able to prepare for that. The famine still came. I'm sure it probably didn't feel great, but the preparation of it all gave me a level of peace, gave them a level of peace, and they were able to make sure that their needs were provided for. And then finally, when you have a contingency plan, it breaks the cycle because your plans are rooted in the word of God. You are taking the stress off of you and you are intentionally relying on what God has called you to do in order to steward well over your time, steward well over your resources. This is not the time in a contingency plan for you to be like, well, I don't have the money for this, that, or the third. No, friend. When we are building a contingency plan, look at what God has already provided. He said in 2 Peter 1:3, I've given you everything that you need as it pertains to live a life of godliness. So what do we need to shift? What do we need to move? How do I need to restructure, reorganize my resources to where I can do what God has called me to do in this season? It's not going to be perfect, but don't wait to build a contingency plan based on what you think you may have in the future. No, you need relief today. And so we're going to use what we have to build a contingency plan. So we want to make sure that we understand contingency plans are going to prepare you for emotional regulation. It's going to reduce that emotional reactivity. It's going to promote self-compassion. So you can love on yourself and not feel like you're constantly providing yourself with this negative self-talk because of things that are outside of your control. You're going to be able to build some resilience. You're going to have a sense of control. We know ultimately that God is in control, but you're going to feel empowered to do what you can. And then you're going to be able to then really allow God to do the rest. And then your mental fatigue is going to be reduced. And then, of course, most importantly, it's going to encourage you to move out of this toxic self-reliance. And once you've done the pieces that you can, because your contingency plan is going to be rooted in the word of God, rooted in you relying on God. And it's going to encourage you to pray, to speak with him, to meditate on what his word already says. It's going to encourage you to make sure that your plan and the strategies that you implement are in alignment with scriptural principles. And it's going to encourage you to center your hope on the Lord. Yes, I have this problem, but I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to cast my cares onto him. And having a contingency plan will help you do that. This is how you live a life of freedom. This is how who the Son sets free is free indeed. Because you are able to honor the call that God has given us to live a life of wisdom. You're able to reduce unnecessary burdens. Okay, Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Contingency planning is going to promote rest even in the midst of the circumstance. Understand that I said it's going to promote rest. I did not say it was going to promote comfort. But you can rest in a place that isn't like 7,000 thread count sheets, I can still get some good sleep. And then you're going to be able to live with purpose, peace, practicality, and you're going to be able to maintain a pace that is healthy. These trials and tribulations aren't going to be able to divert you. Your anxiety is going to be reduced. So now you feel free and you don't have to worry about these what ifs. You're going to have increased confidence so you can be more prepared and empowered. You're going to be able to have flexibility. We need to learn how to live a life that is structured without rigidity. I have structure, but I don't have rigidity, because life be lifing, sis. Life be lifing. So you want to make sure that you have a well-designed plan that's going to allow you to make adjustments, but still being rooted in your priorities. You're going to be able to be free because you're not going to be in a place where you're constantly running in crisis mode. Your brain isn't going to be hotwired all the time for fight or flight mode. You're not going to have to react impulsively or make rushed decisions because we have some contingencies in place. You're going to be able to be a good steward over your time, over your energy, and over your resources more effectively. So now you live in this place of freedom. You're going to learn how to trust in God's provision because now you're actively partnering with Him. So that way you can take this intentional action. The plan doesn't replace faith. Faith being God giving you a spoken word, God putting something on your heart and you responding. Planning does not replace that. But as you plan, you want to talk to God. So there's already a foundation of faith in your plan. And if there is some deviation, you're still hearing Him and allowing the promptings of the Holy Spirit to guide you. But at bare minimum, you got a recipe a little bit so you can let Him cook. You can let Him cook, friend. You're going to promote resilience. And that's because you're going to have a roadmap to recover from bad days. That's what contingency planning is. So now you don't have to be stuck. This is how we end up in cycles. It's going to improve your relationships. So you'll learn how to engage with other people without burdening them unnecessarily. And it's going to make you really reflect, for my toxic, self-reliant people, why you're not in healthy community, why you're not pulling on other people. You can seek help in a way that is healthy. And then, of course, it's going to save you time and energy. Now you can focus on solutions rather than scrambling for answers while you're under duress, while the proverbial gun is to your head, right? And so I want you to recognize that it is so important in order for you to break free of this repetitious cycle of burnout that you are able to have a contingency plan. And a lot of this comes from us just really not addressing the mental barriers of us planning for bad days, right? Because we know we're going to have them. It's in the book. Jesus said it more than once. Jesus and James, his little brother, on some authority, okay? We know that they're coming. So what in our minds, what part of our humanity, what part of our human condition, our soul, do we need to address mentally, emotionally, so that way we can understand the importance of this? And I want to outline some of these for you because I want us to start planning to do this. Then I'm going to give you your journal prompt and I'm going to give you your homework for this week, because in our bonus episode, I'm going to help you start creating your contingency plan. So the first reason that we are not doing this, right, is overconfidence. And here's what the issue is. A lot of times we're stuck in these cycles because we are reacting. We are emotionally dysregulated, okay? Reactivity is rooted in cyclical behavior, And then that behavior is rooted in emotional dysregulation. We don't know what else to do. Emotional dysregulation will literally cause your brain to activate the fight or flight center of your brain called the amygdala. It will hijack your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that makes rational decisions. When you are dysregulated, when your emotions are high, your amygdala is like, move out the way. Let me protect this human, and will do the most irrational things. Prefrontal cortex is taking the back seat. And we have to train our brain to do different. Neuroplasticity is the ability to train your brain to do different. This is why you have to do this. This is why you need to master your bad days. So, why are we not doing this? And I want to give you some reasons, give you a little bit of explanation, and then I want to give you some strategy on how to overcome. The first one is overconfidence, right? We assume that we will handle challenges in the moment, but now you're unprepared. Now you're in reactivity. Now your amygdala is like, move over, prefrontal cortex, I got this. So what I want you to do, if you are of the belief like, oh, I'll handle it when it comes, think about past struggles, past incidences that have happened. How did that work out for you? How did that strategy of being overly confident work out for you, sis? Seriously. Proverbs 16 and 18 tells us that pride goes before destruction. So are we going to keep repeating these cycles? Because now you are overconfident, then you weren't prepared, then you talking crazy to yourself because you got yourself into a situation that wasn't favorable. God's grace is sufficient. We know that he's going to work all things together for our good. However, there are some testimonies that I don't want to have and we don't have to have if we can course correct. So pride is keeping you from humbling yourself, which simply means that you're choosing to not live by your own decision-making, but I'm going to allow God to guide my decision-making, humility. So that way I can sit down, really look at an autopsy the last time I had a bad day, what caused it, and how preparation could have been effective in helping me. The next reason is avoidance. Thinking about bad days makes you feel uncomfortable or it makes you feel pessimistic. And so it's just easier for you to ignore it. Avoiding preparation is going to magnify the stress, friend, when it comes. You're going to be in this vicious cycle of avoidance and crises, avoidance and crises. So you have to reframe planning as an act of wisdom. This isn't about being fearful. This is about you being a good steward. This is about having the dream, knowing that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, knowing that there's going to be 7 years of famine, and planning appropriately. You have to be a good steward. So I want you to start with some small, simple contingency things. But we have to first really shift your perspective. You have to repent. You have to change the way that you are thinking about contingency planning. You thinking of and planning for a bad day does not mean that you're going to bring anything on. If you're like, hey, this is our plan for when the kids get sick, doesn't mean, oh, you said the kids get sick in a sentence and now your kids are going to get sick. Like, please. We're going to have to get past that elementary, you spoke it, now it happened. Nah, girl, your kid, the incubation period, about 5 to 7 days, they got exposed because little Johnny last week had hand, foot, and mouth, and now your baby got it. And God was telling you and putting it on your heart to make the plan because he was trying to prepare you. Not because now you spoke it up and then it done happened. I literally was having a conversation with a friend of mine and said, hey, friend, make sure y'all doing really good hand washing, because I'm seeing an enormous amount of cases of influenza A in clinic. And I know I'm all the way down here, you all the way up there, but just want you to be mindful. Within a couple of hours, she said, girl, why my baby got a fever? But I was able to then help guide her and give her the wisdom that she needed, so that way it did not get as bad. That was God giving us like a, hey, heads up. It felt random to me, but like, girl, all these kids got flu A, like, hide your kids, hide your wives. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever the case may be. And that was able to prevent a situation that was not favorable from going bad to worse. I was able to say, oh, yep, go and get the Tamiflu within 48 hours. We were able to walk through that together. But me simply telling her that is not why her baby got the flu. He got the flu because one of them kids at school also had it too. So avoiding it doesn't make it go away. Another reason that we're not doing this, lack of awareness. So you just don't realize how your bad days impact you. If you're not self-aware, the patterns of stress and poor coping skills is going to continue, and then you're going to continue to have challenges. And so I want you, if you are not aware, because all your life you had to fight for it, I need you to start reflecting and journaling. So that way you can identify some triggers and some patterns, and even engage maybe with some feedback from a spouse, if you have one, friends or family, in their observations. And then take all that back to the Lord. So that way you can be aware. Remember, I told you, God has to reveal so he can heal. If you are too busy or procrastinating, then planning seems like a low priority. This is where Charlotte be guilty, because I get to doing things like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and then plan, like realize a quarter of the way through, like, girl, you did not plan. And now you're getting overwhelmed. And so I'm getting better at not reactively planning and proactively planning, but you have to make sure that if you are aware that this is your toxic trait, that you're addressing it appropriately. When the bad day comes, it's going to add to the chaos. And now you done went from barely keeping your head above water to drowning. So you have to schedule intentional time for planning. You have to make sure that you have tools to simplify the process. Fear of failure is going to keep you from planning. You worry that the plans won't work, and you really believe that planning can't change uncontrollable events, so you just don't do it. Now you got paralysis. This fear of failure is where we go from you experiencing the emotion of fear to you dealing with the spirit of fear. And I'm going to talk about that in another episode. But there's a difference between you having the emotion of fear where God's like, hey, don't touch that stove, it's hot, versus the spirit of fear that keeps you from taking action. Fear of failure is giving spirit of fear. Being afraid of a train coming 700 miles per hour is giving emotional fear, wisdom, get out the way. But a lot of times fear of failure will lead you to this place of paralysis. You feel powerless instead of proactive. And so I need you to focus on doing what you can control and leaving the rest to God. This is why Jesus said, worry about today. Today has enough trouble of its own. Do not worry about tomorrow. Even small steps have value. Just because something is simple, do not allow this economy of content to get you to a place to where we stop understanding the basics. We don't do the foundational things. All my life, I've been taught, if your clothes are on fire, stop, drop, and roll. All of the innovation, all of the things, all of the tools to put out fires and fire retardant blankets, and all those are great additions. But if my clothes are on fire, I'm going to stop, drop, and roll. And a lot of us have gotten so enamored with the add-ons that we have neglected the foundation. Small steps matter. Small steps matter. The next reason is because we misunderstand faith. You planning does not mean that you don't trust God. It means that you're being a good steward. And I'm going to do a video on what faith is and what faith isn't on my YouTube channel. Somebody actually requested that. So I'm going to make sure that I add that to my content list because it's eating us up. By definition, faith comes from the Greek word pistis, and it is God's divine persuasion. It is God telling you what to do and your response to it. That is faith. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without you hearing what he said and doing it, it's impossible to please him. Huh? All right. So you planning is not a lack of trust. It is you being a good steward. And so when you misunderstand faith, you have this spiritual burnout and frustration because the challenges feel insurmountable. You have the enemy attacking your faith in God when God's like, no, I gave you a level of dominion. Like, still talk to me, but I also gave you a level of dominion. And so I want you to shift your perspective, if this is you, to see planning as you partnering with God in stewardship. So you're going to trust him, but you're going to build your plan with him. Okay. Another reason why we're not planning for bad days, emotional fatigue. You tired, friend. You are exhausted. And I see you. God sees you. This exhaustion makes planning feel like an additional burden. But I need you to understand that if you don't plan, even for your bad days, they're going to get more overwhelming and it's going to be this perpetuating fatigue. So for you, if this is you, keep it simple, keep it achievable, and then pray for strength and wisdom. Bite size it. But in order for you to get to a place where you can have rest and recovery, you're going to have to build out your contingency plan. Okay, friend, I love you. All right. Perfectionism. Oh, girl, she rears her ugly head again. Okay. If you are struggling with perfectionism, you're not going to plan for bad days because what you're going to do is try to do everything to be perfect first. You done did every productivity hack. You time block. You're like me. You done created 1700 Notion worksheets, tools. You've accumulated all of the things and you believe that bad days are not attached to the promise of trial and tribulation, but it's somehow a flaw in your moral character. And so you just don't plan on having those days that are bad because you're going to be perfect. Friend, let's stop. Cut it out. If we had the ability to be perfect, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. If we had the ability to be perfect, What we need our Lord and Savior for then? Why are we living under standards that God does not require us to? Does God require perfection? He doesn't, friend. So let's show ourselves some self-compassion and let's plan for those bad days. Let's plan for those bad days. Because you're so busy trying to account for everything that could go wrong. You're planning for every other possibility instead of the fact that like this just could not work out the way that I want it to. But when you are dealing with perfectionism, you are overcomplicating the process, which leads to procrastination and avoidance. Perfectionism is just glorified procrastination, productive procrastination. And it's not really productive. You're busy, you're doing, but not thriving. So I want you to start with a basic framework that I'm going to give you in our next episode. So in our bonus content, you ain't even got to create the framework, but start like identifying the kinds of bad days that you can have. First, just come to the acceptance, boo, that you gonna have a bad day. And it's okay. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, God tells us his grace is sufficient for us. It's in our weakness that we get to experience his strength. And you're tired and you're burnt out and you don't feel this level of intimacy with God, but he's reaching his hand out to you and saying, hey, babe, let me help you. And you're too busy trying to be perfect to impress him, but he's already impressed with us. Why? Because we're his workmanship. Okay. Okay, friend. Love you too. If you're over-reliant on others, so you're expecting your family, your friends, and your coworkers to manage your challenges for you. There's this unhealthy dependency, not an interdependency, but an unhealthy dependency on people. Now you're frustrated. Now you're in these strained relationships because people aren't meeting your expectations because you want you out of them. You want you out of them. We have to learn how to love people where they are. And this is going to help you master your bad day. I have friends that I know to call based on what kind of crises I'm having, what kind of bad day I'm having. All my friends aren't all the way saved 10 toes down yet. Everybody's in the process. My one friend, I call her. She's trying to get active. Love her, but she a class one crash out. Okay. She's Peter in the garden with the knife. And I love her for that. But I know when and when not to call her. Right. I know what to do and what not to do. And it's going to have to require us to take ownership for our well-being and to really understand that people are flawed. Right. Even our families of origin. Everybody's parents are not parental. And I know that that can be frustrating to you. I know that that's hurtful. Go through the stages of grief. Take that to the Lord. And then because he said that he's giving you everything that you need as it pertains to a life of godliness, friend, I want you then to ask him, but who did you put in my life that can help? Is it that mother at church? Is it that bestie? And then how can I make sure that I'm not overly dependent on them, but I am performing or behaving like a body to where when I have a moment where I need some help, I know I can call on them. But you can't be so overly reliant that you're now allowing your circle to become an idol and they are becoming God in your life to the point that it's handicapping you. So if you're toxically self-reliant, I'm not talking to you, friend. You need to learn how to find help and use it. But if you're overly dependent, we have to address that. You have to plan for your own bad days. Ask for help as a part of a balanced support system. Are your friends even equipped? Do you need to get professional help? Right? Your friends should not be your therapist. I'm processing through some things. My prayer partner is my prayer partner. And also, I have a therapist because some of this stuff, she's just not qualified to help me with. Now I can bring those revelations back and we can discuss it. But we have to acquire the actual help that we need. How do you do that? By creating a contingency plan. How do you know what kind of help you need if you're not planning or thinking about it? And I hope that's not going over your head. I just want you to really hear me. And then finally, the reason that we do not plan for bad days is because we have this unrealistic optimism. You think that you can pray so hard that you're not going to have a bad day. That's not how that works. It says very clearly, you will experience trial and tribulation. You will. So there's no level of prayer. There's nothing in your control that you can do that is going to make you avoid the suffering of a bad day. Suffering is just a part of it. Because Christ suffered, we will too. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But it's in that suffering that we get to know him more intimately because we have a shared experience with him. And the way that he suffered is nothing. The way we suffer is nothing compared to how he suffered for us. So if anybody understands the frustration, the overwhelm of a bad day, Jesus does. So if you're having this unrealistic optimism and you just think that you're not going to have a bad day, I need you to also hear me when I say perfectionism. But I need you to know that that unrealistic optimism leaves you unprepared for the inevitable. And you're going to end up with greater anxiety and stress. I pray that I don't have to use my contingency plan, but I am very grateful that I have one. I pray that nobody ever decides to break into my house. But the contingency plan, okay, because the plan is contingent, if you know what I mean. I live in Florida. Cross this threshold if you want to, right? I pray that never happens. I pray I'm never in that situation, but I'm grateful that I'm prepared if that ever occurs. And so it's really important that you are having a perspective of optimism with realism. And you plan for difficulties without losing hope in God's provision. And so I pray that you understand the concept of a contingency plan, why it's important, and you're able to take the time to reflect between now and Saturday of what you need to do. What do I need to address? Where do I fall? Am I avoiding? Am I overconfident? Am I procrastinating? Do I have fear of failure? Am I a combination of these? And now I want you to participate in this journal prompt. When I consider preparing for challenges, what thoughts or feelings arise that might hold me back? Reflect on how Proverbs 16 and 3, which says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I like another version that says, commit your actions to the Lord, and he will establish your plans. Reflect on that scripture and then ask yourself how committing your actions to the Lord can help reshape, reframe, rewire your brain and change your approach so we can break that cycle. How can I align my planning with both wisdom and faith, trusting God to guide my steps while taking intentional action? I'm going to give you the prompt one more time. When I consider preparing for challenges, what thoughts or feelings arise that may hold me back? Reflect on how Proverbs 16 and 3, which says, commit your actions to the Lord and he will establish your plans, could reshape my approach. How can I align my planning with both wisdom and faith, trusting God to guide my steps while taking intentional action? Now, here's what we're adding this week, homework. Okay, so I want you to do your journal prompt and I want you to do your homework. Do not worry about figuring out your full contingency plan right now. I see your type A self. Don't you do it, okay? This is just about identifying where you need the support. I already said in our bonus episode this week, we are going to work together to create the actual plan, but we're going to start slowing down to where you understand the perspective and then we deal with the practical. We get so enamored with wanting the practical, but you are not going to maintain change and break a cycle if you don't understand the why. This is your investment in the why. You have to be aware. You have to allow revelation to happen for healing to happen. So don't you work ahead, because now you're going back and you are making a conscious decision to do without full instruction. So this week's assignment, your homework, is for you to do what I'm about to tell you. And the second part of it is for you to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can get the video as soon as it drops. It drops here a little later than it does on YouTube. So if you want it immediately on Saturday, go and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then you are going to do these three things. One, I want you to reflect on your challenges. What areas of your life tend to throw you off track? Is it when you're running late? Is it when you're feeling overwhelmed emotionally? Is it when unexpected expenses come up? Like what are the things that are really sending you? Is it when the kids get sick? Identify those. I would say list 3 to 5 areas that need a plan. Okay? 3 to 5 areas that need a plan. Because when we work through this on Saturday, I want you to be ready to create the plans that you need as you're watching it. Okay? 3 to 5 areas that need a plan. So open your notes app in your phone or grab a piece of paper. If you're going to lose it, just do it in the notes app of your phone. Let's reduce some of the turmoil or some of the steps so you can do the actual assignment. 3 to 5 areas. So open your notes app, write down 3 to 5 situations where you were having a plan would literally feel like a miracle to you. So feeling overwhelmed, unexpected errands, low energy days, kids get sick. And then I want you to find scripture or biblical truth that is going to remind you to trust God with each specific challenge. How do you do that? You can go to openbible.net, I believe, and I'll link it in the show notes, that where you can do like topical searches, use things like God questions. I did a video on different resources that you can use to find practical application from the Bible, but use your concordance. You can even Google scriptures about this, right? And make sure that you have a scripture within context that you can attach to the need that you have. And you want to start meditating on those things. What is God saying about this? And then we will pick up on Saturday so you can start building out your plan. So I love you, friend. I pray that this episode blessed you. Make sure that you sign up for the First Fruits Fast. Make sure that you connect with me over at Ask Dr. Sharla. If you are needing help with completing your homework assignment, go on over there, friend, and drop the question. And as soon as I can, I will respond back to you. I love you, friend. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next week.